watching him on the biggest stage, dominate when people expected him to dominate, win awards, throw a no-hitter, pitch in the World Series. Ironically, was warming up in the World Series in Game 7, wondering if he was going to come in to close the game after he had started recently. Those things all will stand out. I'll have a ton of time to walk through memory lane with him and we'll want to talk through all of those things, you know, at the appropriate time. I can't wait to get him back on the mound and have him pitch again for us and hopefully anchor a win.
It feels like the end of an era. And Justin Verlander has been so good for so long that you almost forget, like, that this is even a possibility. That he could hang it up because he's just been pitching at such a high level for so long.
And maybe that's why he's hanging it up, because it's been a high level for so long and it's taken a toll.
Well, it's taken a toll. It certainly has taken a toll on his body. He just hasn't been able to shake a couple of these injuries this year. Let's talk about him with Chris Castellani at CastellaniContent.com. Chris, it's good to have you back. Were you surprised by this? Have you heard rumblings that maybe this was a possibility?
Not surprised at all. A little bit surprised that it came at this point in the season. You know, I really do believe that Verlander was one of those guys who had, you know, full intention of playing as long as he possibly could. I think he's always enjoyed it. But I went back and I looked last night, and this is a guy who's had, I think, 8 seasons, maybe 9 seasons, where he's made 30 starts or more. And he's had about 3 or 4 other seasons where he's made 28 starts. This is somebody who has taken the ball every fifth day his entire career. And I think that, well, obviously physically you look at the injuries. I think that it's taken a toll on him mentally not being able to be out there. And I think when you have a guy like him who has performed at the highest level for as long as he did, I think once you reach a point where you're unable to know when your next start is going to be, I think that really started to take a toll on him. So I'm not surprised at all that he is retiring. I thought once he signed here, there was a chance that we could get this announcement that this was going to be his final season. I didn't think that it would happen during the season, though.
I know Verlander said he's been, like, plugging holes in the boat, you know, with one injury after another. Is that a feeling that a lot of aging athletes eventually confront?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the old adage, right? Father Time's undefeated. I mean, Verlander, his entire career defied the odds in terms of how he took care of his body. And the truth is, we're never going to see another guy like him. I mean, this is somebody who at his peak was, you know, pitched over 250 innings. I mean, we're lucky at this point if we see anyone in baseball pitch over 200 in a season, you know, and he pitched 50 more than that. I think that he took such great care of his body more longer than almost any other pitcher of his era, pitched into his 40s. But, you know, it's eventually, and I think all great athletes kind of talk about this. Sometimes, you know, in football, you take that one hit.
Yeah.
Baseball, you suffer that one injury, and you're just a little bit slower to come back after every single start after that. And I think that's just kind of where Verlander found himself.
You talk about the pitchers of his era. Where does he rank, do you think?
Oh, man, if he's not number one, he's number two. I mean, it's there, even in the time in which he played, you know, I feel like the way that we valued and kind of judged starting pitchers definitely changed. I mean, I think in terms of longevity, obviously he's number one. I put him ahead of Scherzer. I know obviously there's the Tigers connection there, but yeah, each with 3 Cy Youngs. I think Verlander, you know, a little bit with the multiple no-hitters, and I think the fact that he reinvented himself multiple times. You know, he's in that kind of triad there with him, Scherzer, and obviously Kershaw, who went, you know, about a decade where he wasn't giving up any runs. But I really think that Verlander of the three, or really of anybody, will stand the test of time as much as anybody, just given the sheer number of innings he pitched. And you're looking at somebody who, you know, made 35 starts in a year, in a season one time, a guy who won 24 games, a guy who was kind of the last of his kind doing things that pitchers just aren't expected to do anymore, and also had some pretty important moments in the postseason. So, you know, he's one of the great ones that ever lived.
You know, Chris, some Tigers fans I know still wonder, what if he had never been traded to Houston? How different might both his career and the Tigers' history, what would it have been, you know?
It's strange to think about, because I think that when we look back on the last decade of Tiger baseball. In a lot of ways, there was Verlander era, and then there was the post Verlander era. And look, for people that kind of, you know, forget, because it was 9 years ago now, you know, this was a trade that was initially vetoed, and you know, he was hesitant about going to Houston, and obviously things changed for his career and things changed for the Tigers once he agreed to go there. I mean, I think that as frustrating as it was to trade him, when I look back at where the Tigers were at that time, I think that it was unfortunately necessary. The Tigers have built up some kind of bad habits in terms of not really building up much of a farm system, and the major league product was full of guys that were, you know, the payroll had gotten way too high. Like, it was sort of the perfect time. But
yeah,
you do wonder. I think that at the same time, though, what people forget is if you didn't trade him, I think that he had 1.5 years left on his contract. I want to believe that, you know, as much as he loved it here, given where the Tigers were at, I think it was kind of inevitable that mm-hmm. there was going to be an exit at some point. But the Tigers just made that decision a lot easier.
You look at his repertoire, his career, and what he was able to accomplish. The AL MVP in 2021, he had the three Cy Young Awards, two-time World Series winner with Houston, the Triple Crown, the All-Star appearances, the ERA title holders. Bob Nightingale says he believes that there's a chance here that Justin Verlander would be a unanimous first ballot Hall of Famer. Is that something that you believe too?
Yeah, I actually had a small little tweet thread about this yesterday, because, like, to me, and I normally don't look at things this simplistically, but, like, if you don't think Justin Verlander's a Hall of Famer, you probably shouldn't have a vote. Like this is silliness. But unfortunately, a lot of this stuff is unanimous. Not every guy makes their votes public. And I feel like we've seen this. We saw, you know, Griffey was not unanimous. There was there's only been one unanimous guy, and it was Mariano Rivera. Mm-hmm. Jeter, not unanimous. Verlander should be 100%, right? My prediction, and this is just pure speculation on my part, is there's going to be somebody who is going to punish him for being on those Astros teams that got caught for the sign stealing. Even though he was not a hitter, he did not benefit from that necessarily. His numbers did not benefit from that, you know, and still put up some of the best numbers of his career, winning two Cy Youngs in Houston. All it takes is one guy.
Right.
And I would imagine somebody is going to have that kind of self-righteous mindset. But to me, I mean, there's not a single box that he doesn't check off. And really, he could have retired 5 years ago, and I think there wasn't a single box that he didn't check off. I mean, you could argue he had a Hall of Fame prime two different teams, which is crazy stuff.
Exactly. Chris Castellani, appreciate it. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you, guys.
Yep, more next.